Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit, Motown. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. We have an interesting program for you all this evening. We have a repeat of part four of our COVID research study. The response from it last week was so overwhelming, we've been asked to replay it again so that some of the data that was relayed can be repeated and documented once again. So while we're getting that set up to get started, we're going to hit the siren. Just a tad of Phil Simons. No one can love you more than God can love you. That's not what Phyllis said, but that's what we mean. We're going to play that as we get last week's show set up, put into the queue, and ready to go.
Love you.
Yoshi, this past April, asked the question, as he laid out some interesting facts. In April of this year, Pfizer and Moderna announced efficacy. And there we go again with this word, efficacy. Well, let's take a look at something here before we pursue forward. Why did they choose to use?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
People,
you are now in the home of
queue. It's not a word that most people typically hear. So the persons that you're speaking to in the general public don't know what it means. The word efficacy means the ability to produce a desired or intended result. So a good way to understand this word is there is little information on efficacy of a particular thing. There's little information on the ability to produce results, the intended results, the desired results. Thus, the word efficacy has been used. So, Pfizer and Moderna announced their efficacy results at the 6-month mark from the phase 3 trials of their respective COVID-19 vaccines. Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, said that the company's data confirmed the favorable efficacy and safety profile of their vaccine and positioned the company to be able to submit a biologic license application, which simply means a license to distribute application to the U.S. Drug Administration. It was on May 7th it formally initiated an application, which, if successful, will earn the Pfizer BioNTech product, BNT162B2, the distinction and the identity of becoming the first COVID-19 vaccine to be approved by the FDA. But let's not forget something. All COVID-19 vaccines currently in use in the U.S. today are available under the emergency access only. Now, what's something before action, that doesn't mean it's something that must be and is necessarily due to an emergency access. Access means it's there and it's available, but it doesn't have to be used. Simply because you have access to something. I have access to $1 million, but I don't have $1 million. It's access. The situation is similar in Europe, where 4 COVID-19 vaccines have been granted conditional marketing authorization. Look at the change in that language. Conditional marketing authorization. Marketing requires that it's something that is for sale. But it doesn't mean I have to buy it. It's for sale. Conditional marketing authorization, conditionally made available to Celgene, which is a fast-track mechanism that can be used in emergencies. These can be converted into standard marketing authorizations, pending positive data from authorizations. But this has not yet happened for any COVID-19 vaccine. hundreds of millions of people around the world get vaccinated, it may seem like a term that is used now, words. And for those of us who don't understand, I'm going to give you a definition for words. Somebody who puts the proper spin. Wordsmithing. Changes to a text to improve clarity and style as opposed to its exact content. So you're putting the proper spin on something to make it sound one way when it quite feasibly and is actually a wordsmith. A good writer is a wordsmith. A good copywriter for music is a wordsmith to make a murderer sound like the great protector. I had to shoot him and kill him because he was a danger to society, because he was black, driving a Cadillac. I don't own one. What's he doing in this neighborhood? I don't live there. Well, maybe he makes more money than you and can afford the Cadillac to live there. But you decide. Should you be there, therefore, when they pulled him over, you kill them. Wordsmith. He who controls the flow of information dictates the language or words that they use to describe that situation. Okay. So, it may to highlight the fact that none of the COVID-19 vaccines are actually approved. Through an emergency access mechanism known as the Emergency Use Authorization, or the EUA, the products being rolled out still technically remain investigational. Fact sheets related to vaccines are clear. There is no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. Let me say that to you again. For all you Nimrod defunct, non-English understanding, factoid revisionist, knucklehead neophytes. And yes, someone's going to say I should be using all these expletives in this particular manner to describe your ignorance. I'm going to say it again. There is no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. The approval authorization distinction is often misunderstood by the media, even in the scientific press. But it was the focus of much discussion back in September of 2020, with large phase 3 trials by Pfizer and Moderna well underway, and the November U.S. presidential election looming, many worried about the political pressure resulting in the rollout of unsafe or ineffective vaccines. Let me say that again. To talk about you, non-aligned listening, malfunctioning, factoid freak. Go along to get along and just do as you're told. With large phase 3 trials by Pfizer and Moderna well underway and the November U.S. presidential elections looming, political decisions were made. Not health decisions, political decisions. Many worried about the political pressure resulting in the rollout of an unsafe, that ineffective, that and an unknown function of a vaccine. That too is that. The FDA had already come under fire, accused of bending to the White House and granting the White House under Code 45 for two COVID-19 treatments. Hydroxychloroquine. And for those of you who do not remember, hydroxychloroquine not effective for doing anything other than poisoning people. If you don't remember what the hydroxychloroquine did, it tells you. Hydroxychloroquine is used to prevent or to treat malaria caused by mosquito bites. COVID-19 is not malaria in any way, description, or fashion. It can treat and prevent malaria. Sometimes used to treat lupus and arthritis, not respiratory and cardiac conditions. Okay? So the two treatments that we used early on, the White House said use hydroxychloroquine and convalescent plasma. Now, what the hell does that mean? That's in plasma. Again, the vast majority of people have no idea what the hell that means. There aren't many doctors that can tell you what convalescent plasma. No. So, I have a responsibility. Convalescent plasma is. Convalescent plasma is a therapy which uses blood from people who have recovered from an illness to help others recover. Nobody recovered. Well over 96% of those who contracted the COVID-19 virus remained systemic and hospitalized on ventilators and died because they didn't even know what it was that was killing them. They had no idea. The term COVID-19 was not released to define what this stuff was until almost 3, maybe 4 weeks after it presented itself and began to spread, that it was identified. That being said, let's continue. We got to bust up this ignorance of some of these video actions of tweets. Those fears largely dissipated when the FDA published a guidance document in early October outlining its expectations for the EUA. According to documents, at least half of the trials participants would need to be followed for at least 2 months. This alone made it all but certain no vaccine would cross the line before the elections. So was a health decision made or was a political decision made by a political machine that, by all known accounts, is holistically dysfunctional? They also stated it would want a vaccine at least 50% effective, with a confidence interval reaching no lower than 30%, against a primary endpoint of preventing the SARS COVID-2 infection, also known as COVID-19 disease, of any severity. Parameters it had previously defined as necessary. parameters like manufacturing quality. The FDA characterized its expectations with EUA as very, very similar to those for approval. Is 6 months? Is it enough? One key difference between EUA and approval, which is also legally defined as its licensure, and which for vaccines is known as a BLA, a biologic license application, was the expected length of follow-up of trial participants. Unlike its clear articulation of 2 months for an EUA, the FDA has not committed to a clear minimum for approval. Cody Meyer, a professor of pediatrics at Tufts University and a member of the FDA's advisory committee, was quite curious in his question. He said, and I quote, "Is it possible to predict or estimate when conditions of safety and efficacy might be satisfied for BLA?" Dr. Meisner asked at the agency's December 10th meeting, which had been convened to consider the FDA's first emergency authorization for the Pfizer vaccine. It was Dorian Spink of the FDA who responded. He said, I quote, "I couldn't predict, but I will say that we typically ask for at least 6 months of follow-up in a substantial number of clinical trial participants to constitute a safety database that would support licensure." Well, we all know from factual news reporting that 6 months after getting the virus, many people died, and many people died within 6 weeks of contracting SARS-CoV-2, also known as COVID-19 virus. So 6 months? What a stretch. An approval based on 6 months of data would represent one of the fastest for a novel vaccine in FDA history. Among six first-in-disease vaccines approved by the FDA since 2006, pre-licensure pivotal trials were a median of 23 months in duration, according to the recent study of FDA. 3 months, so 2 years. 6 months also seems substantially shorter than previously conceptualized expectations. A World Health Organization, a WHO expert group on COVID-19 vaccines, which included FDA regulators in August of 2020, called for follow-up until at least month 12 or until an effective vaccine is deployed locally. At least 12 months of review. Another group composed of industry and academic authors similarly wrote in October of 2020, and I quote, "We recommend longer-term follow-up of all participants for at least a year after randomization." Paper, the phase 3 studies by Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen, the secret code name company for Johnson & Johnson, are all of 2 years duration. But FDA officials' position on minimum follow-up for licensure is unclear. At best. In its formal guidance last June, said that for licensure application, it wanted participants follow for COVID-19 outcomes for as long as feasible. Ideally, at least 1 or 2 years after the first injection. But the same document states that safety assessments for serious and other medically attended adverse events should be studied for at least 6 months after completion of all study vaccinations. Longer safety monitoring may be warranted for certain vaccine platforms. So mathematically, that means to me, if they're talking, ideally at least 1 to 2 years after the first injection, and then those documents and that evidence studied medically for adverse events for at least 6 months after completion of all the study vaccinations. We're looking at a minimum of 18 months to 30 months for any licensure to supply a deadly vaccine. When asked to clarify its guidance, is asking for follow-up of at least 6 months or 1 year, a spokesman, PMJ, quoted saying, "We do not have any further information beyond what is in the guidance document." In other words, they do not know what this stuff is. Evidence formally say this, that, and the other. So, we're traveling through the world advertising and marketing products unblinded and without a control group. So there is nothing to say for safety. Duration or of protection is not the only question that longer placebo-controlled trials can address. They also address and I quote Philip Krause of the FDA, who explained last December, he said the following. Very often, it is the fact that we have that placebo-controlled follow-up over time that gives us the ability to say that the vaccine didn't cause something at a longer period of time after vaccination. So now they're depending on the placebo to provide evidence of something. It makes me wonder how many other things did they make a determination on based on the placebo group and not the evidentiary evidence presented by those actually receiving. What about primarily responsibility and duty to the American people and has bowed to the wind of political expediency? Any answer outside of the affirmative makes you a neo-Maxi doing duty as well. Stephen Goodman, the Associate Dean of Clinical and Translational Research at Stanford University, told the FDA in an invited presentation last December, once a vaccine is made widely available and encouraged, maintaining a double-blind control group for more than a nominal period is no longer pressure to do so may undermine the entire vaccine testing procedure. Were they warned? Were they told not to do what they did? Oh, hell yeah. Mr. Goodman's recommendation was to rapidly convert the trials into crossover studies, enabling those on placebo to get vaccinated and vice versa, while maintaining the blind. The company's challenge the feasibility, calling it baloney, and a crossover never occurred, therefore wiping out any evidence of ineffectiveness and efficacy. The BMJ asked Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson's hidden secondary cousin company, Johnson, what proportion of trial participants were now formally unblinded, and how many originally allocated to placebo have now received the vaccine? Pfizer declined to say, but Moderna, with politically correct language, announced that as of April 13th, all placebo participants have been offered the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, and 98% of those the vaccine. 98% of what number? Was 98% of two? 1 in 7, 8? Come on now. How many people? So in other words, what they're saying is the trial is unblinded and the placebo group no longer exists. I have it. Johnson & Johnson also told the DMJ, we do not have specific figures on how many of our study participants have received a vaccine at this time, but the company confirmed it was implementing an amended protocol across all countries to unblind all participants in its two phases. Three trials, the earlier of which phase passed a median of 2 months follow-up mark January. So he made a decision based on 2 months of data and people you can't identify. Holy Jesus, that man, you've got underwear on? I thought you were a man in tights. Those are just long johns. How the FDA will waive a law of blinding and placebo-controlled follow-up is unclear. But just months ago, the agency said these trial properties were vital. Continuation of placebo-controlled follow-up after the EUA will be important and may actually be critical to ensure that additional safety and effectiveness data are approved to support submission of licensure application as soon as possible following an EUA. Once a decision is made to unblind an ongoing placebo-controlled trial, that decision cannot be walked back, and that controlled follow-up is lost forever. This is according to documents released by the FDA itself this past October. But I'm seeing a process. The American people will need to ask guinea pigs unofficially, and not without their knowledge, to test a product that nobody knew whether it worked or not. entire American population. Get vaccinated. Do this, do this, do this. And you don't know what you're getting. But you dingleberries are out and getting vaccinated either way. How much are you willing to endure? How long are you willing to be? Calves led to the slaughter. How long? They not long. But evidence has shown clear that how long is still long before you do right about what's wrong in your own life to protect yourself from the lie. How long? Seems like a very long time. So why the rush? Why this Operation Warp Speed gets so many people vaccinated? USA's Warp Speed delivered on its promise to get a novel vaccine into their arms in record time. It was President Biden's really first major policy decision. Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. Everybody likes a good joke. Get vaccinated. Millions of doses of vaccine are being administered daily across the U.S., making clear that lack of FDA approval is no longer a barrier to access. So just what benefit is there in seeking and granting a BLA? I go through the legal process of getting a BLA, which then gives the person the right to seek compensation for when things go wrong. For a licensed product, but because these products are not licensed, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the money changers are meant to punch their hands over fists with no amount of accountability for the numbers of people that are going to die or suffer extreme reactions that will actually debilitate human life. There is no recourse. The BMJ asked the manufacturers why they were seeking a BLA. Moderna did not respond. Johnson & Johnson only confirmed it intended to apply for BLA in late 2021. Pfizer did not answer for the FDA webpage on medical devices, which stated sponsors of EUA products are encouraged to follow up with EUA with a pre-market submission so that it can be remained on the market once the EUA is no longer in effect. But EUAs have no built-in expiration or expiry date, in fact. 14 EUAs for Zika, as in Zika virus, for Zika diagnostic tests remain active despite the public health emergency expiring in 2017 for the Zika virus. They're still in effect. Again, Dr. Cody Meister told the DMJ he saw some distinct advantages of a BLA over for an EUA. An approved vaccine, for one, will provide an element of assurance and accountability, increasing public trust in the vaccine, particularly for those currently sitting on the fence. It would also pave the way for claims of vaccine industry to be routed through a more established compensation program, and for adding the vaccine government funded schemes to reach children in financial need. Are we seeing the trail of the octopus here? Follow the money and you find the beast. Finally, it may affect the potential for vaccine mandates. It is unlikely these vaccines will be mandated while an EUA is in place. Remember that currently these vaccines are still considered legally experimental. While under the EUA, an increasing number of educational and other institutions have already mandated vaccines, but debates over the legality of these actions have hinged on the distinction between authorization and approval. But approving a vaccine in order to legally support mandates or convince people of its safety arguably puts the cart before the horse. Dr. Reed Feisner responded that a BLA would not be issued until the FDA is convinced of the short and long-term safety of these vaccines. So in other words, the FDA went along to get along because it was politically correct to do so under Code 45, but issuing a license to produce and distribute, they're not necessarily willing to take that step out there because then they become the focus of litigation. So no new biodistribution study for COVID-19 exists. Vaccines exist right now. Officials have consistently emphasized that despite shaving years off traditional timelines for producing vaccines, no compromise in the process was taken. However, one type of study tracking the distribution of a vaccine injected in the body was not conducted in any of the three vaccines currently authorized in the U.S. Red flag for any medical profession. Such biodistribution studies are a standard element of drug safety testing, but are usually not required for vaccines, according to the European Medicines Agency Policy, EMA, which adds, and I quote, however, such studies might be applicable when new delivery systems are employed or when vaccine contains novel adjuvant or excipient. Now, this word adjuvant, I want to give you a definition for this word adjuvant. But A-D-J-A-N-T-S, adjuvants. So what does adjuvants mean? Adjuvants, by definition, means is an ingredient used in some vaccine that helps create a stronger immune response in people receiving the vaccine. So adjuvants is an ingredient, a substance which enhances the body's immune response to an antigen. Okay? So, when the vaccine contains novel adjuvants, it is referring to mRNA process, a synthetic medication carried by polyethylene glycol, which is already known to cause extreme allergic reaction to well over 80% of the American population because it's a poison. It's petroleum, basically a plastic shell which the body cannot break down because the body is reacting. Peace. polyethylene glycol is causing a immune response to that, it then also attacks the RNA aspect of the virus or the vaccine, becomes, they compete. Thus, the vaccine is ineffective. It causes the response, it causes fight, and then fights what it caused to have happened. The other word is excipient. Now, I know I use these words, so I'm going to give the definition for these words. I'm going to leave you hanging out there floating in Never Never Land wondering, Brother Harold, what the frog hell are you talking about? Well, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to excipient, by definition, is an inactive substance that serves as a vehicle or medium for a drug or other active substance injected into the body. Again, it is referring to a synthetic material used to produce the mRNA vaccine. Okay? Let's continue. Now that I defined the words. However, one type of study tracking the distribution of a vaccine once injected in the body was not conducted in any of the three vaccines currently authorized in the U.S. Therefore, such biodistribution studies are a standard element of drug safety testing, but are not usually are not required for vaccines, according to a process used by the European Medicines Agency, which also adds, however, such studies might be applicable when new delivery systems are employed or when a vaccine contains novel adjuvants or excipients of which mRNA vaccines can be defined as in all of its aspects. It is full of adjuvants and excipients. In the case of the COVID-19 vaccine, regulators accepted biodistribution data from past studies performed with related, mostly unapproved compounds that use the same platform technology. Its COVID-19 vaccine leveraging the same technology as its Ebola vaccine, which was licensed last year. Quote, our confidence in our adenovirus vector AG26 is based on our experience with this vaccine. Pfizer and Moderna did not respond to the BMJ's question regarding why no biodistribution studies were conducted on the novel mRNA products, and none of the companies, nor the FDA, did whether new biodistribution studies will be required prior to licensing. Brother, sister, dear friends, dear listeners, supporters, you need to learn. How much more do you need to know before you make the stupid choice of accepting this poison? How many ways can you be told that there's something wrong? How much more time do you need? How many people more need to die before you are then able to stand up on your own two feet and say, you know what, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this crap anymore. I'm going to wait. Are you that weak-minded? No. After all of this information, his footnotes, he wrote, competing interest PD gave a public statement at the October and December advisory committee mentioned, as we discussed earlier, of the transcripts which I read. He said the following. And may continue to engage in public input towards regulatory decisions making around COVID-19 vaccine. PD is also employed by a university that mandated COVID-19 vaccine for all faculty, staff, and students. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the author and does not necessarily reflect official policy or positions of the University of Maryland. What are they doing? They're saying that even though there is no legal definition saying that this stuff works, we're going to say that you have to take it. That's the term mandate. You must take it to remain employed at all. You must take it to remain enrolled at a student at a power. Maryland does not want to take responsibility for what it says you have to do. Everybody wants to avoid accountability, but nobody's saying don't take this stuff. They're saying you must take it. But nobody wants to bear the weight of the responsibility of the poison. Once again, as always, this is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad here on the Black Hole Radio Network. With that said, we're going to take a brief pause of Carlos Santana and Ooh.
Thank you.
about it.
What'd you say?
More than 100 U.S. colleges mandating COVID vaccines for in-person events and schools enforcing mandates. It's critical people understand their legal rights.
Okay, here it is.
The bottom line is this. Mandating products authorized
with
emergency use authorization status, EUA, violates federal law as is detailed in the following legal notification. All COVID vaccines, COVID PCR and antigen tests, and masks are merely EUA authorized, not approved or licensed by the federal government. Long-term safety and efficacy have not been proven. EUA products are defined by definition experimental, which requires people to be given the right to refuse them. So, what brought all this up? It is under the Nuremberg Code of the Nuremberg German Trials. Nuremberg, Germany, to try so-called Nazi war criminals for crimes against humanity against so-called Jewish populations during World War II. The Nuremberg Code.
The chuckle, you definitely appreciate the
medical medicine. No one may be coerced to participate in a medical experiment. Consent of the individual is absolutely essential.
Look, I just said damn because
so there was no
I'm also going to use them because of football.
Just the experiment and other experimental procedures used upon people of color, people with color, melanated people, the darker people of
and
the land. Think about the Nuremberg Code. Your impassioned desire to experiment on me and mine.
in the worst kind of
make
way.
Make yourself healthy. However, no one may be coerced to participate in a marital experiment. Therefore, individual consent is absolutely essential. But you're experimenting on the American people now through an emergency use application. Earlier this year, Mary Holland of the Children's Health Defense, President and General Counsel, and Attorney Greg Glasser stated that federal law prohibits employers from mandating
a
COVID-19 test or mask.
Football third shorts.
Holland employees are wrote, and I quote, if a vaccine is issued by the emergency, you
can. I'm just calling
by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. It is not fully licensed and must be voluntary.
Yes, love.
A private party, such as an employer,
hey,
school, or hospital, cannot circumvent the EUA law, which prohibits mandates. Indeed, the EUA law prevents mandates is so explicit that there is only one precedent case regarding an attempt to mandate an EUA vaccine.
Oh, hope. You know, you jealous.
The users of school and your boy says you must get the COVID vaccine. What is your platform to fight back?
All right.
The mask is one thing.
Yabba dabba doobie.
Gives the visual perception of
safety. That's even better.
For a populist and population.
He's buying food for him, or
however,
just getting it for himself.
And it's not invasive. But you telling me I got to take a shot of some kind of chemicalized product.
I told you I don't like it, but I'm okay.
What did you do? The Children's Health Defense Legal Team has written 3 legal notifications that anyone faced with a COVID vaccine.
Not too worried. Not too worried.
To make use
if I got that, minus both of them, so that I can have.
That they are violating federal law. They are violating my human rights as an American citizen.
I mean, it's real.
And you can download the 3 notifications. I'm not going to begin to tell you what the websites are because there's a lot of legal jabber. That you should have gone to the Children's Health Network or you can go to Black Hole Radio Facebook page and download it. And you have every legal right, and you are in the right constitutionally to defend yourself in this manner. And your employer must beg off or compensate you to the extreme. Or violating your human rights. So all of these notifications include this language. Federal law, title USC 360BB-3E1AII-1-1. Of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act states the following about products granted emergency authorization usage. Individuals to whom the product is administered are informed. 1. The Secretary says that the Secretary has authorized the emergency use of the product. That would be the Secretary of the Interior and or the Secretary for the Food Drug Administration. 2. Of the significant known and potential benefits and risks of such use and of the extent to which such benefits and risks are known. And 3. Of the option to accept or refuse administration. demonstration of the product of the consequences, if any, of refusing administration of the product and of the alternatives to the product that are available and of their benefits and risks. Any entity or organization that requires you a COVID-19 vaccination, or taking a COVID-19 test or wearing masks are in violation of the federal law and will likely, and I can almost guarantee it, will face lawsuits if they don't allow exemptions or alternatives. Submitting the notices prepared by the Children's Health Center the first step prior to seeking an exemption or taking legal action, in which case you get fired from your employment. Don't want to take the vaccine, and your employer releases you from your employment. Don't regret. Contact your civil rights attorney, and when you come out of that, you will come out financially well off, and still get your job back. Stay the course, weather the storm. Follow the leader, the real leadership of that, who has your best interest at heart. And I don't care who makes phone tonight. His name is Charles Lewis Barnard. He said, don't you take that vaccine, don't you be no fool. Not trust them at their word or their action, because their history does not indicate such. Vaccine exemption laws vary by state, so go to the National Vaccine Information Center to learn more about your particular state's exemptions. It's critical to stand against mandates preserve legally protected fundamental human rights on issues related to health and freedom. Don't fall prey to the coercion of peace and to expression. Use the resources available to protect your legal rights, human rights, and moral rights provided to you by the Not So Mad Science, I'm your host. For the Harold Alexander on the Black Hole Radio Network. And as promised, I got some time left. It is now 7:46 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to give